So the question is, she went to a store and she spent the amount of the gift card plus. Does she has to take Maser of the gift card amount?
She received the gift card?
Yes, let's say it was okay. X amounts of dollars. Okay. She went to a store and she spent X plus.
What is that? Why is that part of the shaila?
I don't know. Maybe she spent less than X, she needs to give Maser. If she spends more, maybe not.
Okay, so let's say she spent the whole thing.
That's yes.
Okay, was it it was a card to a specific store?
Yes.
So then I don't believe that she has to, because it's not really cash, it's just store credit. Yes. So just like if somebody would have bought her a whatever gift it would be from that store, she wouldn't say, you don't have to take Maaser from it because it's not kesed, it's shavah kesed. So they're giving her spending power in that store, but that's all. If it's a credit card, one of these gift cards, you can spend it anywhere, anything, that's mamish cash. But if it's just store credit, and I think you would not have to take Maaser from it.
Okay, thank you.
Quick shayla in Yonah Yuma. My son is flying to Eretz Yisrael presently. He's in transit. I want to know what should I send Paul Mata the Rafa when he lands. And mamish.
When he lands?
So he's going to be here for a week or about a week.
I assume he's basically an American. Just that he's learning.
He lives in Eretz Yisrael.
He lives in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
Is he single or married?
Single.
The bottom line is the best thing is probably just to say it in Shmakaleinu. He definitely has to say it one way or the other, but probably best just to say in Shmakaleinu. You have to look, it's a little complicated, but the halacha talks about people going from one place to the other, but people who go from here to there and then coming back with them just to say it in Shmakaleinu, because you're yotze that way, and you're not taking a chance on being mekalkel any bracha. I don't remember for sure the other way, coming from there to here, but it could be just continue saying it normally. But I could look afterwards. But otherwise, in the meantime, I would say it.
As much as
but he won't go wrong by saying in Shmakulain, at least uh-huh. Definitely be Yotze. But I would have to look up because usually the question that's asked, we get asked the question the other way. Not usually. So I'd have to look up for sure. Okay.
A question actually regarding the shear.
Yes.
I was walking on the canal, I was listening to the shear, there's ducks, and there's a lot of feces all over the floor. You said dogs are, but I don't know if everybody's walked on the canal before, but they're definitely, it's regular there. So like, you could walk a few feet and some is old, some is new. You said that they don't really make a difference.
Unless it's completely dry to the point that it's crumbly or something, but
right. But there's no smell because it's outdoors, but you definitely see as you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be a problem? Does that mean anyone who go on the canal for a walk or?
Well, you go take a walk and you just can't, you're learning.
Right. Something.
So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Aleph, so as Tarnagolim, it's so of hens, chickens, Haholchim v'bayis, Dina k'tsoas v'hei machayi v'of, which is not a problem. Aval halul shalahem, their pen, sheyesh bo sirchon, because a lot of it and a lot of smell, then k'tsoas adam. But, so this is halulchim v'bayis. So, let me see here. I'm assuming that it's no different than these are you also like behemachayva. If it's like here, it says it's really. I guess we could bring siv dalet. Siv dalet says so as kelav chazir im nasim bem oros. If you're soaking hides in it to process the hides, then marchikim kvosos adam v'lav. But if not, dinam kedin so ashar behemachayva of she'ein tzarach lahachim lahem. It says that of a regular oaf is not a problem. It says a couple of times. So I assume it's not a problem here unless it has. You say there's no reach, and it's not. It's probably not like the lul. The point of the lul is that it's yishpo sirchem. But here things happen. They open. So it's not a problem.
And one more. At the end of last year, we concluded that if you're seeing a kli that's made to hold one of these things. People put their Asher Yotzer sign, sometimes it's facing the bathroom. So if you're saying, would that be a problem to face the toilet? while saying the bracha?
Or, I mean, facing me with the door open?
Yeah. Because the kli is made to catch sheezes.
Right, so... So really, there's a whole shalat b'chal about besakise, about mechisa besakise, etc. But definitely, the door should be closed. I mean, there's any reason why the door is open? Or just,
no, I think people just leave it open.
No, the door should be closed. When a person's facing, you shouldn't be facing it and saying a bracha. I mean, the thing is, it's in a different rishus there, so it gets into the shalat, but we said with the rush and the rush. But according to the rush, once it's in a different rishus, even if you see it, it's okay. But according to the rush, but it's not. And so we can talk a little bit more about what is considered a graf shereina, but the door should be closed. Once the door is closed, then that would be an inside. Okay, so we did end off last week discussing some of these halachas of what constitutes a graf sherei. So I just wanted to talk about the two things in this topic. One is the garbage cans, like garbage cans in the street. So garbage cans in the street, we mentioned this briefly, I think, 2 weeks ago, but the various firm bring down, the Halicha Shlomo brings from Shlomo Zalman, and the Zasar Bracha brings also from Eliashiv, that they both held that they are not a problem of Graf Shalrei. They were talking about Eretz Yisrael, but I doubt that there's much of a difference. We'll see in a minute some of the reasons. They were talking about the large garbage cans that are meant for people to put their individual, you know, empty their individual garbage bags, except place into them. So in the Vizasar Bracha, basically Yashiv says Mutter doesn't give an explanation. But in the Licha Shlomo, he says three reasons. First reason he says is that they're typically emptied, he says, nearly a daily basis. That's what it says there. And then the second reason it says is that the garbage is not placed in directly. The garbage is placed in individual bags, so that the kli itself doesn't get all dirty. It's not even really meant to hold schmutz. It's meant to hold bags that hold schmutz. And the third reason is goof of the fact that the walls inside are not dirty. I mean, in other words, he's assuming that people are complying with the let's say the nimus, the derech eretz, and putting the garbage only inside in bags and not dropping. Maybe put certain things there, but not dropping like real things that are ma'us, things that have a din of tzoa, or rotten food, or food that can rot, or real tzoa, or anything like that. They're not putting directly in the can, assuming that's the case. So the walls of the can are pretty much clean, and if they're not clean, but what they're dirty from is not things that are begetter tzoa. It's things that are not, do not have the halacha of being ma'akhir from them. So once that's the case, that the inside walls are clean, and they're typically kept clean, so then it doesn't get and it's not even used. It's not even used for the tzoa itself. It's used to just comply. So then it's okay. It's brought there in the sefer. There was Shlomo Zalman himself when he was frequently walking the streets, and people would be walking with him, asking him shailas, talking and learning, and he would walk right by these cans, and he would not hesitate. He would continue talking and learning. Now this is provided that there's no reach. If there's a bad odor that's coming out from them, so once you're within the area of the reich, you can't talk. Assuming that the reich is coming from ashba and stuff that has the din of harchaka from it, so then you'd have to be at least marchik from at least to the point where the smell ends.
Not four amos past that.
Well, so we said that if it's a reich rashein bo ikur, then you don't need four amos from the edge of the smell, and if it's covered garbage, that was at least the machlokas, and I think there's a bracha brought, as I mentioned in one of the early shurim, brought from Abliyash, they seem to be noted the hakel in that you don't have to be marchik dalet amos from where the smell ends. But, so Rosh Hashanah was makel on that, for that reason. There's a bracha brings some other gedolim that were mamachmer, but we do have this, we do have from Rosh Hashanah and Abliyash, at least according to what's quoted, that they were both makel. Now, there's another shall discuss in the postcamp about what about diapers. Now, we spoke about the idea that you could have a baby could actually be dirty, a baby wearing a diaper could be dirty, but let's say he's wearing a diaper and he's dressed, so he's wearing clothing over the diaper as well, and he may be dirty, but there's no reich emanating, so you don't know if he's dirty, and even if you do know, but he's at a point where he's, you don't, the tzoah is covered, right? It's completely covered, and you don't smell anything from it. So then there's, you know, there's no problems. There's no reich coming, you know, that it's emitting. Then there's no problem. But what happens if he's not wearing anything? Oh, he's just wearing, he's a small child. He's wearing a diaper, and the diaper is dirty. So the shaila is the diaper itself a graf sharei? The diaper itself is meant to, that's its function, to be mekabel the shmutz. And now it's taka full of shmutz. So when he's wearing it and it's clean, it says brand new, so that's okay. Meaning something that's meant to be a graf sharei, I think we touched on this last week, the question I think was asked, but it's brand new, then it's okay. So a brand new diaper, you have a box of Pampers, there's no problem saying the return in front of a box of Pampers. And when it comes to cloth diapers, which once upon a time people used, so the cloth diapers, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, as long as they're washed, they're laundered, even though they're not brand new, they've been used, but once they're laundered, they're also mutter. It's like the other types of graf sharei materials, like things made out of metal or glass, or some poskim say, many poskim say plastic as well, since they're not so... they don't absorb so much, and they're easily cleanable. So therefore, they don't have, as long as they're clean, they don't have a din of a graf sharei. So Rav Moshe says that same thing with these diapers. Cloth diapers, once they're laundered and they're perfectly clean, they're not a graf sharei. You could say the retor in front of a clean diaper. But the question is, what about a dirty paper diaper it's right now dirty, so it doesn't have the, and it's been used already, and it's currently dirty. So even though you don't see the tzoah and you don't smell the tzoah, but you're looking at the child who's dirty, and or even if you're not looking at him, but if he's directly in front of you, or for that matter, if he's even behind you, but within Dalet Amos, because the din of a graf sharei is just like the tzoah itself. You can't say the retor even if it's behind you and there's no smell. If it's within, if something that's classified as a graf sharei, even if it's behind you within Dalet Amos, you can't say Divrei Torah, or off to the side within Dalet Amos. So if you know the child's behind you and you don't smell anything, but he has a dirty diaper, is that so Rav Shlomo Zalman says that yes, that it is considered a graf sharei when it's dirty, and you could not say Divrei Torah next to him, or you know, with him behind you on your side.
Do you have to know Vada, it's dirty? You mentioned that in last year.
Well, I mentioned that legabe, whether you have to be, let's say, a child who's within the range where, if there would be a reach, you might, if he is dirty, you might be within Dalet Amos of where the reach ends. So there, I mentioned though, you don't have to worry, you don't have to check. But that was because it was covered, so it might be considered anyway in Boiker, and there might be no reach altogether, and you don't even know he's dirty. But here it's just like really one suffix. If you there's a child behind you who, you know, this is ample reason to believe he's dirty. Let's assume there is. So lechora, it's a child of a suffix deraisa. To say divrei Torah within Dalet Amos of a graf sharei is an issa deraisa. And not only that, but even if it's just a bedpan used only for urine, it's called avit shomei raglaim. It's only used to collect urine. And we said that urine itself, once it's on the ground or somewhere, it's not the actual omud. Not the flow at the time that it's flowing from the body, but it's already on the ground or something. The urine itself is only an issur derabanan, but the avit, the thing, the kli that's made to collect it, is issur deraisa. And the Mishnah says this, and he brings this from Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says a number of achronim, you know, bring this lamaisa, and I think he says two different. One place he says a hezra because this thing is made to gather a lot of it, and it sits there frequently. It sits there and gets to a point where it becomes very. Very, you know, putrid and smelly and mos, very, you know, becomes disgusting. Mamela, that's what the kli is meant for. That. The urine itself, kozman, it's not that way. It's just it's only a stirbana. But the kli that's meant to gather the urine and to hold it, off, you know, at times till it becomes very mos, that kli is asumi deraisa. So now one might declare that even if you don't know the child is dirty, but he might be. You don't know that he's clean either. And he might be. And he's wearing this. So if he's within your Dalet Amos, or if he's straight ahead of you, that could be more of a shaila. Yeah, that might be us even stopping the rising.
I'm just picturing, like, you're at a Shabbos meal, you have your son sitting at the table. He's in a diaper, so you just can't say.
No, so put on a period. He doesn't have to sit just diapers.
On pants?
What?
You just put on pants on him?
Yeah, cover it, right?
Or change the diaper.
Well, yeah, but the thing, if you change the diaper, but, you know, you don't.
But a diaper feel of urine, it's also forbidden.
No, so that Rosh Hashanah says no, if there's no reach. If he just wet the diaper, it's not. Because he says there it's typically changed before it gets to a point where it's most. So that still has the din like it's brand new.
Even if the kid has no pants.
Yes. If you know that he's clean from you know, tzoa, it's just that he wet it, he says that's okay. If there's no reach, and but if he's dirty from tzoa, then even though you can't smell it, you can't see it, but it has, Rosh Hashanah says, now I saw that brought down, and I forget where he wrote for the moment, but from Shemar of Nissen Karelitz, that he said differently, because he said, no, even if it's dirty, it's not called Rav Shrei, why not? Because it's meant for one-time use. It's a disposable thing. It doesn't get a status of Graf Shere, even if it's currently dirty and everything. So of course, if you smell it or if you see it so or whatever, you have a different problem. But the diaper itself, even a dirty diaper, never is considered a Graf Shere because it's meant to be used and disposed of. So I had a shtickle kasha because Rosh Shlomo Zalman apparently seemingly doesn't agree to that, right? Because he, according to the Rosh Shlomo Zalman, let's just say the Makar was, I'm pretty sure, one second, it's in the Halicha Shlomo. It is in Halicha Shlomo, I think, from Kisvei Talmidim, I think it said. So assuming it's accurate, we always have to make a little caveat that a lot of things we quote, or I quote, and not the only one, but we quote quotes from Pesachim, from Shlomo Zalman, from Obli Asher, from other Gedolim. Very often it's not things that we're not quoting their handwritten Shuvahs or their published Shuvahs, we're quoting people who quoted them. So there's always, what's that?
Hearsay.
Yeah, or even if it's better than hearsay, somebody could be, but it's always an element of, we don't know for sure, maybe if did he really say, maybe he didn't say it, and even if the person saying it over, he says, yeah, I asked him, is he certain that he understood him properly? Did he ask the question clearly enough to get and understand the answer clearly enough? And was it an answer that was based just on a specific, like a, you know, a, other circumstance, other things involved in the Shaila? These are all factors. And that's why there are those that, you know, won't touch any of these quotes. But many, we use them, but carefully. I'll just say, all right, I remember, one of the great Pesachim and Lakers, Rav Shmuel Felder, I once, if I remember correctly, I heard, I'm just quoting, but I heard on, I heard on one of his shiur many years ago, I'll tell you how long ago, it was on a cassette tape, so that was a long time ago, right? But that he said, from what I recall, that he once went to Rabbi Yashiv, he had heard a Pesach, or he'd seen a Pesach in a Sefer, quoting Rabbi Yashiv, and he wanted to discuss, he had a kash on it, or whatever, he wants to discuss him. So he had the sefer with him, and he went to Rabbi Yashiv, and he said, the Rav said that this and this, halacha. And Rav Yashiv says, no, I never said that. So he said, he has a sense of humor, Shmuel Feldis. He said, no, you did say it, I'll show you. I'll show you said it. So Rabbi Yashiv says, you don't have to bother showing me, I didn't say it, and I want to tell you a klal. Anytime it says I said something, I didn't say it. Now, of course, Rabbi Felder, who said that, Rabbi Yashiv said that. Assuming Rabbi Yashiv really said that, probably what he meant was, you know, it's just as likely that I didn't say it that I did say it. Meaning, yeah, I'm sure he didn't mean anytime he's quoted, he didn't say it. But, okay, I'll kopon him. So I had a kasha that if it's takas true, as it says on Licha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman holds that the diaper is considered Rav Shere, even though it's, now it doesn't say there 100% he's talking about disposable diapers, like maybe he's talking about, you know, reusable diapers, but I reason to believe that that's not the case. First of all, even by the time that sefer was written, Alicha Shlomo, people were not using, you know, those diapers. You know, the Pampers type things has been on the market for as long as anybody can remember, right? Okay, so, and I assume even, okay, maybe it's in America, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, not as long, I don't know. But also, there was another reason, there's something else that said there, it made me believe that he's talking about disposable diapers. So he's talking about disposable diapers, and yet he was machmer, so it seems he doesn't go with this idea of the one-time use. But on the other hand, if you remember, I said over, I think it was last week, by the person, if a person has a catheter, so we said he's allowed to say brachas and everything, and daven with, even while the catheter is attached to him, and the urine might be running through it, it's still mutter. We said from Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Nishmas Avram that it's mutter, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman even said that it doesn't have to be covered. Rav Moshe and Tshuva, Christmas says it should be covered. For sure, the bag, but even the tube where it just runs through, I think, but sure, the bag. Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, no, it doesn't have to be covered because it's disposable. astira. So if it's disposable as a heter, so then why do you have a kasha? Why do you have a problem with the diapers? Why didn't you say the heter of Minister Karillis? The diaper is also disposable. So I was thinking, assuming it's a kasha, I mean, assuming all the quotes are, the halachas are correct. So we have maybe the pshat is that maybe that's really what he said. And Nishmas Avram that quotes him as saying that the catheter is a one-time use. Maybe he didn't mean exactly one-time use. Maybe really what he said was similar to what he said about the diaper that's wet from urine. He said it's not a problem because it's not going to get to a point where it's smelly. You don't leave a dirty diaper on a baby till the point where it becomes putrid and everything. You change it long before that. So it's, and then you throw the diaper away. So and the diaper is like, gets destroyed. It's never going to get to that point. So since it's never going to get to that point, so therefore it doesn't have the din of graf shreis. So maybe that's what you meant by the catheter bag also, that it's not going to be left long enough to become, you know, so mos and so have such a bad reah. He didn't mean dafka one-time use. Maybe he just meant it's going to be disposed of before it becomes very mos.
Emptied out.
Yeah, empty, right, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was thinking, maybe said.
How are we defining the Divrei Torah? What are the parameters for that?
Kipshuto? Certainly reading for anything from a printed source, I mean, not be from a Tarsh Miksav or a Tarsh Shaval Peh, or what we're doing now, saying a shir like this, or
so it's anything that, I mean, because you can stretch it, like
if you want to talk hashkafa, I'm talking about
hashkafa, like Musar, like I don't like trying to get someone like, you know, chizuk, like I don't like.
Okay, so you know where this is Shabbos, but it's more look in the halachas of Birchas Torah. You have to say Birchas Torah before any form of Divrei Torah. So, what does that extend to? Let's say you're discussing, you know, concepts, but most of what you would. Most of it, I think, pretty much most of what you would consider, you would suspect is Divrei Torah, I would think would be included. Certainly now we're taking a chance because we're talking about Mamish and Issa Deraisa to say Divrei Torah b'makom graf sharei. Okay, so again, we said over, so Rav Moshe says the washable diapers, assuming they're washed, even if they were used already, once they're washed clean, they're not a graf sharei. Disposable diapers, brand new, for sure not also, but if they're not brand new, so if it's wet, seemed everyone that we saw is maskim it's mutter, but if it's mamish dirty, then we saw Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it is problematic.
And so stam, if you don't know, if they're just in a diaper, they're not covered.
Just that they're not covered, and you.
Sorry, they're right to the chumrah.
The best thing would be to check him, but if you, I mean, I don't know if you have to be chosesh like every minute. I checked them like 2 minutes ago, and I don't know if you have to, you know, chosesh every minute, but. If you have no reason to know one way or the other, and you could very well be dirty, so it would seem that. Bechara is not good. I mean, I guess look, you do have this equivalence to be so mechon of the fact that it's a one-time use that he had. It doesn't have a din of a graf sharei, so perhaps you know it's b'makom safek. You could, if you need to, if you like, it's not your child, let's say, and you know the parents don't want to hear your parenting advice about putting a pair of shorts on the kid. So maybe you could be so mechon, you know. But,
why are they lenient with clothes, diapers, and not with other kelis?
And now with, I'm sorry, now with what?
With other kelis, let's say, I don't know the English word for this, you know, the one that the people that is sick use, a bedpan. So why are they more lenient with a diaper that was clean and not with a bedpan that was clean?
Well, so no, the bedpan also depends on the material it's made out of.
If it's metal, yeah.
Yeah, metal. So that was what Moshe was saying, that the diaper, which is laundered, is similar to a metal or glass bedpan, which could Okay, another halacha I saw is similar, same thing. If you, if there's a drainage pipe, like a sewer pipe, which is a. Which might have mamish real waste in it, it's still permissible to say. Rav Shlomo Zalman brought that he has mutter to say Divrei Torah there or to daven there, even if it's running through you're davening in the basement or something. And it says it's brought there that he gave shir in a room in yeshiva which had such a thing. Which it's mutter because everything is completely enclosed and it's not meant to hold. It's not meant to collect. It's just a passageway. Just the stuff passes through, but it's not meant to. It's not like a bedpan that it's meant to gather the stuff. So as long as it's completely closed, there's no reich in it. You know, no reich comes out of it and everything. So it doesn't even have to be covered. You're allowed to daven or learn over there. Okay. Now, one more thing to mention is that the halacha also says that if a person is mefiach means a person releases gas. And it has a disturbing odor, So that is also usher, whether for the person himself or for other people who are in the vicinity where they smell the, you know, the reich ra. It's usher to, and here we have a chilek. It's usher to davin, kriyashma, brachas, but it's divrei Torah is mutter. Here we have, and this is the divrei Torah is mutter. Now the way it's brought in one place in Shulchan Aruch, it says because. It's only the Rabbanim, first of all. It's called the Reach Rash Ein Bo Iker, right? The Reach of Hafacha, this, what we're discussing, is Reach Rash Ein Bo Iker, which is us mit the Rabbanim, not us mit the Torah. And the Mele Chazal were Mekel the Gabi Divrei Torah. So some places say Mekel Mishum Bitl Torah. In one place, the way it's brought, in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought that it's like, it's difficult to be Machmer on this because it's the Derech that in a base Medrash, and so there, it could be a base measure at night, and there are people learning, and other people, some people might be dozing, might be, you know, having a few minutes of sleep, and in which case they're not in total control, and it's normal that such a thing can happen. Here it's right here in the end of Simen Ayin Tes. Sif Tes. Yatze mimenu reich milamata asur b'divrei Torah. So it's usher till the odor goes away. V'miyatze mechaveiro mutter b'divrei Torah mishum di'i efshar shehatalmidim k'tsasim garsim u'k'tsasim yishenim u'mefichim b'soch hashenim. You know, people will learn until even now. Maybe people learn until they're very tired, and sometimes they just need to take to you know, sometimes just fall asleep through learning, or sometimes, you know, intentionally put their head down for a while just to guess. Dude, it's not been happening for a long time. it's brought about. I remember reading in the biography of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that sometimes in the middle of giving shir, to his talmidim, tell him, Rabbi, I need a few minutes, and he would put his head down to rest in the middle of the shir. He just because talking about people that work themselves to the bone and they didn't sleep 8 hours in bed at night. Now they say about the Chazon Ish, it's brought. It's also, I think, that the Chazon Ish would. Mamish, learn until he had mamish, literally no koach. In fact, sometimes if you learn the Sefer Chazon Ish, sometimes he'll say, I saw quoted from the Rashba, such and such a thing. The ain has Sefer tachas yadi. I don't have the Sefer literally tachas yadi by my hand right now to be ma'ayin. But listen, this. So they say when he said that, didn't this? I mean, he didn't have a Rashba. He quotes the Rashba into. Ein tachas yadi could mean it's on the shelf, but I just pushed didn't have the koach, didn't have the energy to get up and go to the shelf to take it off. So he had to rely. Anyway, so he would learn until he was, you know, exhausted, and just make a cheshbon of how much energy he needed to leave himself just to make it to his bed. The story goes that one day they came in the morning and they found him Amish lying on the floor, right next to his bed, asleep. He says, I miscalculated a little bit, and I learned an extra, I used an extra ounce of strength in learning that I couldn't quite make it to the bed, and I just collapsed before the bed. Okay, so anyway, so in Shulchan Aruch it says that also in those days it could be also that it was more common that people actually slept, they didn't have another place to sleep, at least during the week, they would just stay in the basement, and, you know, around the clock, and that's where they would sleep, and okay. Anyway, so Mimela, the Reach HaFacha from someone else, not from the person himself, but from someone else, it's Mutter B'Divrei Torah. But it's brought really that it applies to any Reach Rashein Bo Iker. That's what it's from. Any Reach Rashein Bo Iker, Divrei Torah is Mutter. Other things are Usser, Krishma, Davening, and Brachot, but Divrei Torah is Mutter.
But from yourself, it would be Usser, Divrei Torah also.
Yes.
So just back to the case of just a regular, so if someone sees someone, same Divrei Kedusha and there's soul right there. Could be usher for someone to go, oh, well, that's usher. That's like saying, like, I'm asking a halacha for him with the Divrei Torah.
Well, okay, so.
I mean,
do it for more than 4 amos away, tell him.
Right, you mean, fate, put your back to it.
Actually, he can't hear it. If he's within the Dalai Lama's.
Okay, but there are ways of doing it, and there are ways. There's a Gemara about a person in the Merchatz. And how to be Merames that you can't. Merames, it's Gemara Shabbos, right? In the third parak of Shabbos, about somebody's in the Merchatz, and the question was, were you allowed to on Shabbos, or hot water on Shabbos, and he wasn't allowed to answer.
But
I said,
like, that's a real like concern. Like someone can't say, oh, that's us, or like, that's. Like,
perhaps if the only way to be monei him is stum, he'd be allowed to without going through and say, you know, saying out the whole thing. It says much. Let's say someone's asked a shayla before berachas haTorah, so he's allowed to answer mutter or asa. So, am I allowed to do this and this? And you didn't say berachas haTorah that you're allowed to say yes or no. So stum, he could tell him usher and point or get the message across. Or if he has something to cover it, assuming there's not a Christian prayer, just cover it and then it'll be put. And then he cover it temporarily or even with something and just to explain. To be lafusha meisura, if you had to, if the guy's just not getting it without you saying, you can't dive in front of that, I'd probably be allowed to say lafusha meisura. He had no other etza. Okay. And so by hafacha as well, though it's mamash even a shayla b'diavad, even though it's only also midrabbanan, but even b'diavad, a person davened or said Kriya Shema, he would not be yotze. You have to repeat Kriya Shema with the brachas, even with the evi. Okay. So I think we've covered a lot of that. There's a lot more detail in these halachas, as I said, but Hashem, I think we've covered the quite a bit of it. So I think we could move on. Okay. Now, what I want to move on to now is the other part of the pasuk. Not moving that far. It says, "Lo yira b'cha erev asdavar." We mentioned it earlier. So, "Lo yira b'cha erev asdavar" teaches us that you can't say divrei Torah or divrei kedusha in front of erva, which is exposed. Now, what's erva? So, erva on a man, it's only mamish the makom erva itself, the private parts of the man. Only that's considered mamish the erva of a man. Other parts of a man's body is not erva, as long as that's covered. Even if a person is just wearing a bathing suit or something and nothing else, he's technically allowed to say brachos or to learn. It's not davening. You can't daven that way. I was covered for the tefillah. You can't daven if you're not dressed more fully, more properly. But just to say a bracha, or a person is learning, or something, as long as his hands are clean. You also can't touch parts of the body that are normally covered, and then you have to wash your hands. But if all that's taken care of, he'd be allowed to learn or say a bracha. And certainly another man who is in front of such a person, he's at a swimming pool, which is just men, and there are men there who are wearing nothing but a bathing suit. That's no problem. As long as they're wearing a bathing suit, there's no problem to say brachos or to learn in front of another man. There's nothing on a man's body is considered erva other than the makom erva itself, the private area itself. When it comes to a woman, it's a different story. And these halachas are discussed in Siman Ayin Hey in Aruch Chaim, found in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. And the Shulchan Aruch begins right away in Sif Aleph saying Tefach Megula Beisha. An area of a tefach. Tefach is a fist worth, like, say, about 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches. That amount of basar, of a woman's body, in an area, b'makom shedarka lechasoso, in a place which is typically covered, where the halacha requires it to be covered, and if it's now uncovered, one is afilu hi ishto, even if his own wife, where there's no isser for him to see it, particularly if she's she's tahora at the time, there's no isser to see it. But even so, there's still an isser, usser likros kriya shma keneged. It's usser to lay kriya shma or any other dvarim shebe kedusha, including divrei Torah. Here is usser. So what we're saying is that even where the Isser stakas might not apply, but there's an Isser to say Divrei Torah in front of any woman, whether it's his wife or any other woman, in front of a tefach of her basar that's supposed to be covered and is not.
Head covering,
yeah. We'll get to that as well. It's Seyar, that's Sif Beis over here. We'll go one step at a time. Okay? The bottom line is, if it's a married woman or a woman who's not a basul, a married, a woman who is married or was married, and if she's not currently married, then it's us in front of her hair too, if it's not covered. If we'll get there, that's mitzvah rabbanan, so there are going to be some differences.
So if you you invite your house people for Shabbat and they say they don't keep anything and they don't come in complete snood, you can't say the Torah?
They come, if she comes not dressed properly or not?
Yes, so, not for sure, not head cover and...
Okay, so we'll try to go in, we'll see as we bring up, but the bottom line answer is that you shouldn't, at least don't be facing her. If you're saying Divya Torah, be facing a different direction. She's not in your direct line of view, and you don't, you know, don't see her, right? You know, and or that would be the best thing, that you, that she's off to the side of the way, that you don't see her. Your body is turned the other way. If that's not possible, then when it comes to hair, we'll see that it's enough to close your eyes, and so, or just look away, like don't just, you know, look down or whatever, just don't look at it. When it comes to other areas of the body, that's not a hetel, that's not a hetel chatchila, but b'shas hachak it is. So like, let's say you have to say Kiddush, and right now for Kiddush you can't avoid it, or the way the seating is set up. If you can't avoid it, then you, b'shas hachak, you just do your best, you know, don't look. You look down, look into a sitter, or whatever it is, and then it'll be okay. But, okay, that's the bottom line. So we'll come back. You know, hopefully we'll
pull up. So you're on a subway train and you want to learn Gemara while you're on your way. As people dress, is it better not to learn
So you're allowed to learn without saying the words. It's not like Tzohar, where there's an Isser even hear her. It's only Usser to speak. By Erev, it's only Usser to articulate. So if you're just learning in your mind, it's okay. If you feel that I can't learn that way, I need to say the words. So. Question me if you could, certainly at least keep your head down. You know, block your eyes like this. We'll talk about that if there's.
Unless you're in a train, you had to say Shema, or else you're gonna miss it.
So people dress. There's no place to turn where you won't be in.
So you're on a crowded subway train.
Yeah, fine. So then, what you have to do is close your eyes, and the best thing would be even to block your eyes. You know, block your eyes, and say it that way.
And that's also by the Kedusha, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we're jumping here, but that's fine. We're getting the point is to get the halacha advice. So, okay. Now.
Shmoneh Esrei probably the same thing if you have to, right?
If you're on a train, something you have to, you just keep your eyes closed, and the best thing would be to even to block if you can, like block them with the sitter, and then like start keeping
close. Just look at the sitter if you have to read.
If you have to read, so then just look down, make sure you're not, to. Yeah, it happens very often on a plane. I'm saying some of this, like, it's very difficult to be in a position. Some of you can. I mean, I know I've tried to say, if you have a window seat, so you could, often you could do it like their mind, like turn your body, even if, whether it's with the person next to you or sometimes the people in the seat in front of you, and if our arms are uncovered and, you know, they're on the side of the seat or things like that, or there's a person on the aisle, the next, you know, on the other side of the aisle, but like one row up. So if you're at a window seat, you can turn your body towards the window. Sometimes you have to be creative. I've been on a plane that way. Sometimes I find if I'm on a plane and I'm not too tired, so I could do. Sometimes I can learn very well on a plane. It's very subjective. Sometimes you're on a plane and you're tired. It's very difficult. But if not too tired, sometimes you're not much do a lot of learning on a plane, and you want to be able to say the word. So. Figured out sometimes how to turn in a way that.
What we said about the hair?
So here it's motiv in lechatchila to close your eyes or to look away.
Or to say the words but not looking, like if you're learning the same words.
Yes, now looking. But here, if it's just a question of exposed hair, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we say tefach magula, we're talking about the arms, anything above the elbow. And the legs, certainly anything above the knee.
The hair doesn't, if they're not Jewish, then is it no problem at all? Because they would never have to cover anyway?
So getting over the end. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Rambam says you can do anything, which is, see what it is inside. Yeah, here. It says, We'll find it, but it says you're going to make this. So I didn't look this over yet, but it says you're going to make it on that. Here, Mr. Brewer Sivka and Yud Beis. Kasa v'chayodim nachrios. Women who acknowledge she'enim is horis l'chasa sarin, that they're not obligated to cover the hair. He says, sarich iyun im dina v'zekim suros. This is sarich iyun.
What's that?
Sarich iyun, meaning it's a shayla. You have to be mayan into it. But here. So, okay, so as he says. So he brings, on the Yiddisha, brings from Ramosha, and Chivinu Gizmosha, that is manenu, that even, the married Nachriyas don't cover the hair at all, so it's not considered Ervin, as long as it's not causing the person Ervin. Mm-hmm. Alright, so we got a lot of the bomb, but we'll come back to this, I'll actually try to say
as long as it's not causing
to
what?
Hear her, it's not causing the person to actually, have improper thoughts. As long as it's not causing that, then it's put to Nachriyas. Okay, we'll come back to this, Mr. Shannon, we'll figure it out.
Okay.